We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to March Madness. Here we are, the month of March where the basketball world goes crazy, college basketball. And we're going to talk some women's hoops in the second segment with Sharman Smith coming off a terrific victory in the final game of the regular season against a top 20, top 15 team, Arizona, at Arizona to conclude the regular season. Now it's on to the Pac-12 tournament against a loaded Pac-12 women's basketball field with the six teams, you know, ranked in the top 25, and there's probably at least six teams going to the NCAA tournament. So we'll talk to Sharman a little bit about that in the second segment. But first of all, we're going to talk football, spring football. That's right. Here we are this week. We start with a couple of practices, and then we'll conclude on April the 11th for the spring game. It'll start at 2:30. So hopefully a lot of you can come out and watch the first look of the 2020 California Golden Bears football team. And joining us is head coach Justin Wilcox. I guess before we talk about the spring football and next year, we haven't really had an opportunity to talk to you about the conclusion of recruiting, although that pretty much wrapped up in December this year for a lot of schools. I think a lot more schools are kind of getting into the flow of that early signing period. It looked like not as many signees in February around the country as we've seen in previous years. How did it go as far as that is concerned? You see the trend being good. You like the idea of having that early signing period and then maybe pick off a handful here or there from February until next fall practice.
Yeah, I think that's becoming the norm, and the recruiting calendar has just moved up over the past decade or so. So our players all signed in December. We're still actively recruiting in January. Just the focus tends to be a little bit further down the road, you know, looking at some future players. Sometimes we'll be in, current class, but a lot of times in January, it's looking further down the road. So it was really productive for us. We have some new coaches on board, and getting them in their areas and meeting people was really efficient, and it was good for them to get out on the road. And it was also nice just to have our players kind of signed up and ready to go. A lot, you know, eight guys were here mid-year, so got them, into workouts and classes and things like that. But overall, it's been really, really good.
That seems to be the other trend Not only do you get early commitments because of the calendar, but you get more and more players that are bypassing their final couple of months in high school to jumpstart their collegiate careers. As you mentioned, 8 guys this year for your team. I mean, again, it comes down to the player. I mean, does he really want to give up the final 5 months of high school? But a lot of these kids nowadays have said, hey, let's bring it on. If they can do it academically, I mean, you can't just do it. You have to qualify. But more and more kids seem to be doing that.
Yeah, they start preparing in their sophomore and junior years of high school to do it because it's become more popular. Ultimately, we really want the individual, the recruit, and the family to be on board and have it be their idea. We support it 100%. It's great for them to get in early. They get a head start on their first season. They get off-season workouts. They integrate into school. They get a little extra time that way. But they have to be ready, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically to do that. And a lot of them, like I said, have planned it out over the course of a year or more. And we had a number of guys do it. And I think you'll see that trend continue.
You know, the other thing about that is, in addition to the early enrollment and also the installation of the 4-game redshirt rule, you could literally have kids come and be in school for a year and a half almost before they maybe become starters or regulars on the football team.
Yeah, they can go through an entire year and 8 months and have played in 4 games and then truly begin their freshman year of eligibility in football. So the development that takes place during that time is massive, as you can imagine, for a young person coming in. So it's a win-win. We love it. We love the 4-game rule. We like that if they're ready emotionally, mentally, academically to come in early, we support it. And we really help them through that process because they get a head start. You know, it's workouts and spring football and academics and summer workouts. So there's a lot of good to it. It doesn't, you know, fit for everybody, and that's okay too. We're looking forward to the guys that are coming here in June, and a lot of those guys will help us as well. But I think it's just becoming more and more of a part of college football, having guys come in early.
The other thing that appears to be the next thing on the table is new rules and regulations vis-a-vis transferring. A couple of conferences have already come out and said, we would like to see the student athlete be able to transfer out of an institution and go to another institution and immediately be eligible to play. What are your thoughts on that? As opposed to maybe you got to sit out a year, or some conferences in years past say you got to sit out a year for sure if you're going to transfer within the conference. So what are your thoughts about that? Because we asked Mark Fox about that, and I mean, he said the transferring thing has just gotten, it's huge, maybe more so in basketball than in football.
Yeah, and I think it's becoming you know, more prevalent in football. I mean, it's I think the coaches, I know what we would prefer is just there's clarity on the transfer rules. I mean, right now, I couldn't tell you what the rules are because some guys transfer and they are immediately eligible. Other guys aren't. And sometimes it's because they have an attorney, I think, you know. So I think whatever the rules are, as long as we're all playing by the same rules, that's what I'm for. I think there's probably some unintended consequence if we open it up. I understand the argument both ways. I really do. And So they're going to talk about it and decide. I think there's a lot to unpack on it. You know, ultimately, we want to make sure that we're recruiting the right guys for us here at Cal and give them a structure where they can grow as a person and as an athlete and become part of our team. And, you know, when you have a 85 scholarships and 115 players, ultimately there's going to be a few people who it just doesn't work for them, and that's fine. And if it benefits them and it's good for everybody, then the transfer thing should be open. But I think they're working through a lot right now, and I understand the arguments on both sides.
Yeah, the waiver clause is the one that nobody can really understand, right? And nobody can understand the waiver. Some kids are eligible right away, and some others aren't, and who really knows? Speaking of basketball, we've seen you at a couple of games. We're coming down to the end of the regular season here. In fact, we'll be up in your old stomping grounds, the state of Oregon, this week and making that drive from Eugene to Corvallis through Junction City, maybe stop at the Dairy Queen, get another one of those deli bars. I mean, we remember doing that a couple of years ago after a big win at Oregon State. You've been at a couple of games. What have you seen from that basketball team?
I love it. You know, we've got a chance through January. We were so busy with recruiting and traveling, so I didn't get to as many as I'd like. But we've been in the office and had a chance to go to the games in the last month here. And I'm telling you what, just to watch the team improve, and I'm by no means a basketball expert, but watching those guys from where they were a couple months ago to where they are now and how they compete and how hard they play and they're organized and It's been fun to watch. So got a chance to go to both of them last week. Huge wins mm-hmm. for the program. And I love watching them get out there and battle. I mean, they got some tough guys in there, guys making tough shots. And I was telling Mark after the game on Saturday, I think that was the most nervous I've been in a year is going into the overtime of the Utah game. I wasn't that nervous, you know, in our bowl game or against Stanford, but I was nervous watching the Hoop team play. So it was a lot of fun and it's enjoyable and I'm excited for them and what they're building.
Yeah, no question about it, Chris. We'll be at Matthew Knight Arena on Thursday night, the Gil Coliseum for their senior day on Saturday afternoon. So Matt Bradley is the Pac-12 player of the week. He had another terrific weekend against Colorado and Utah, in which he matched his career high with 26 points in one game. So if Matt Bradley was a football player, Coach, where would you line him up?
It's funny you say that, because after watching the last two games, they got the wins, and I jokingly told him as he was walking back to the game, they go high-five everybody. I'm standing there. I told Matt that spring ball started next week. But, you know, he's a heck of an athlete, man, and he I would – if I was just, and I'm not trying to steal him from Coach Fox, but if I was just going to place him, I'm thinking he's probably a tailback or maybe an outside linebacker body type. But boy, he's an athletic guy and he's a competitor. I mean, you just watch him get after him. He's diving on the floor. He's taking people to the hoop. I mean, you can see he's got that chip on his shoulder. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think Andre Kelly, I mean, he's shown a little spark physicality in the last month or two. It can maybe be a lineman of some sort that could help you out. Maybe even a tight end, because he can get down. They've got pretty good hands for a guy that's big. But we'll keep him on the basketball team, at least till the end of the basketball season. Then we'll go from there. All right, let's talk about spring ball. But before we get to that, you got four new coaches. Yeah. I mean, you've had a lot of introduction and assimilation as far as a new staff. How has that gone?
Oh, it's gone great. I mean, just having those guys in the building really – it happened pretty quick, you know, during the first couple of weeks of January, and getting Bill on board and Angus McClure and Aristotle and then Marcel Yates and, you know, kind of knew all those guys. And the really neat thing about it is we had our first staff meeting when everybody was finally here all together, and it took about 3 minutes, and then it felt like everybody had been here for a year. So just really good people. It's been fun sitting in the meetings and watching everybody interact. And we got, you know, some new things going on offense and, you know, Marcel and his background sitting in those defensive meetings. So it's been great. And I know they're chomping at the bit to get on the field. We've had a chance to interact with the players, some in some meetings, but everybody's really excited for tomorrow.
I mean, on that defensive side, as we tape this on Tuesday, on the defensive side, like, Coach Browning's maybe the only guy that hasn't been a coordinator, right? I mean, you got a lot of experience back.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're fortunate, you know, it's having Tim and Marcel and Peter, Andrew, those guys have, you know, they know a lot of football. And, you know, I go in there just to kind of hear and sit and listen, and we'll say my 2 cents now and then. And, you know, we have put the defense in a few years back, and it's continuing to evolve. And it's really fun to sit in there and talk through things with those guys, just because they have, you know, different experiences and have done it different ways. And that's the fun part about these, you know, off-season meetings, is trying to find what's best for our team.
All right, the offensive side, the new offensive line coach, Angus McClure, who's been around the block a few times, was at UCLA for a long time, at Nevada, a Northern California guy, Novato. I drive through Novato every time I come down here. So, and he knows Northern California. He'll be really helpful vis-a-vis recruiting and teaching, replacing Steve Greatwood. And then you mentioned Coach Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator, mostly at the NFL level. Mm-hmm. Now, he was at Virginia with Al Groh, but he's going to come in and kind of re-energize the room there, because with his NFL background, he brings a lot of components that a lot of these kids are thinking, hey, I want to go to the NFL. And I forgot an offensive coordinator that's been at that level, that can only help me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's already shown up in recruiting and just, you know, our players. And, you know, we had great coaches here before and love those guys. And they had chances to either move on for their careers, or Coach Greatwood, you know, he got to retire, and we're all really excited for him that he can just kind of put his feet up for a little bit. But, you know, with these new guys in here and having Bill and his background and just sitting in and listening them do install and talk through, you know, run schemes and personnel groupings and pass plays and protections and all that. It's just been a lot of fun to watch those guys work. And Bill has an unbelievable knowledge of the game, and he's a fantastic, fantastic teacher. You know, when he's sitting in there talking to our coaches or our players, just the way that he presents it, it's very professional, very detailed. And, you know, it's been great just to kind of be witness that, you know, and be sitting in on those meetings, and then having Angus, who I've known for a long time and really been a pain in recruiting, to be honest. And he's a super person right here from the Bay Area. Aristotle is a guy that I've known forever. He went to Jesuit in Portland. He's a Boise State guy. He's been coaching at an academic institution in Cal Poly for a long time, and he's worn a lot of hats. I mean, he's done running backs. He's been in recruiting. He's done special teams. Just a super person as well. And then, as I mentioned, Marcel. But those guys on offense, it's just it's been really neat to this last month and a half or so, a month, just watch those guys get together and sort through things. And it's going to be fun for our offense. And those guys are excited. You know, the different personnel groupings, like I said, and some of the schemes will be different. I mean, there'll be a significant change in some of those things, and our players are excited.
Everything we hear about Coach Musgrave, Bill, I've known for a long time. Obviously, when he played at Oregon, I covered him, and he was quiet then, and he's quiet now. Even when I see him at games, he's still not, but he does know how to teach, and he's very, very bright. Comes from a very bright family, but his brother Doug, his dad was really bright as well. So this will be enjoyable for the young men. But we hear maybe a little bit more usage of the tight end. In the last couple of years, you've had to stock up that position because the previous staff didn't really have tight ends. So how much more can we see? How much more actively involved in the offense will the tight ends be?
Yeah, they'll be a big part of it, and we're going to continue to develop that position. We feel good about the receivers that are coming back. You know, the running back position always is going to be key as well. But the tight end group and what they can do, you know, they're not always going to be the same, but having some different skill sets there. And also, you know, potentially a fullback and finding a guy that can do some of those things. But having that ability and flexibility to get in and out of different formations, where those guys line up, I think it'll be really fun for the guys on offense, and it gives the offensive coordinator and Bill and that crew some more tools.
Now, offensively, everybody, all the positions have somebody that comes back that's been a starter. So you start there, but it's a new system. Meanwhile, defensively, you've got the same system, but you got to replace some key guys. Safety, Evan Weaver, inside linebacker position. What position on either side of the ball most excites you about seeing the development of that particular group?
Oh, that's a tough question, because I'm excited for different reasons, just to watch our offense start to come together. A lot of guys who have played, but some new things going on, and we have sharp guys. They're going to pick it up, and you know, now it's just about teaching and getting the reps and getting their rules, all the details of those assignments. And defensively, as you said, there's, you know, they understand the language. There will be a couple wrinkles here and there. And now it's about, okay, who's going to take that next step? And when you look at the inside linebacker position, the safety position, some of the young outside linebackers getting some work in there, and young DBs. I just think there's really across the board, there's going to be some fun things to watch develop for different reasons.
Well, and as always, spring ball gives some people an opportunity. Other guys have to heal up. So Koi Deng, one of the guys that will be out for the spring, Cam Good, Ryan Puskas, and Jenna Williams, who missed almost all, well, he didn't miss all of last year with a fall camp injury. But you know what those, you know, some of those guys can do. You know, Koi and Cam. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Koi, I mean, he came in last year and he stood out because he was like 6'6", and he's the tallest guy in the defense, and he's certainly the tallest guy in the back seven, that's for sure. And seeing him out in the hallway here, I mean, it looks like he's filled in a little bit.
Yeah, he's almost up to 240 pounds, and he's still on a bit of a recovery. It'll be something that heals up quickly. It's not major. So he'll be out of the most of spring. Now he'll be able to do walkthroughs and all the mental reps. And Coyne's a very, very cerebral guy. He loves every part of what we're doing, whether it's meetings or walkthroughs or practice, community service, which he was coming from today. I mean, he's just a super, super guy. But we'll get him back fully healthy for the summer. But, you know, him and Cam have played quite a bit. Ryan Puskas, unfortunately, will miss. He's a guy that could really use the reps. We'll get him back going in summer. And then Gentle, who's had a couple of knee injuries, he's played a fair amount here. We'll get him back going. And, you know, it's tough to see a guy go through two of those injuries, but he's a guy, just his mental makeup, he's going to continue to fight through it. And we'll look forward to getting him back in summer.
Will Craig good to go because he missed most of last year's
work? Yeah, Will will be in parts of spring ball. You know, we'll determine how much kind of as he progresses. There's a couple guys in that boat. You know, Nico's another guy that'll be in, you know, spring ball, you know, partially. You know, we'll see kind of as it goes day to day and week to week how much they'll be able to do.
All right, defensive secondary, Cam Bynum said that he wanted to come back this year. That's a big deal. And then you also moved Elijah Hicks, who was a really good corner, to the safety position. You did that in a bowl game, so he's got a little experience there. And then Josh Drayden, this was one every week when we had our meetings with you. What's the deal with Josh Drayden? Is he going to play or is he not? And so you ended up playing him four games so he could redshirt. And you mentioned us last year. He was a guy that's he's a starting Pac-12 cornerback last year, but there wasn't a spot for him on a consistent basis. But to have him back and Cam Bynum back along with Hicks, that gives you some experience, despite the fact you lost four or three safeties.
Yeah, no doubt. And Josh, you know, we talked early in the season last year about this, and it was, you know, there's a couple different meetings we talked through. He is a team guy through and through, and ultimately it's going to be good for him. You know, he's going to have the chance to play more, and he played well. I mean, there were some games in there when I wish he was available, but we had to be really disciplined about it. But he played his last game against Washington State and got a game ball, you know, and played really, really well. But having him back, obviously Cam Bynum, who we're also going to train at some nickel, just because of some of the skills he has. You know, you mentioned Elijah Hicks, who's played corner a lot. I think Elijah's got a really bright future at safety, just, you know, kind of his skill sets and what he's able to do. And then we have some young guys. You know, Daniel Scott is also a guy that's played some safety. Craig Woodson's going to get a lot of work. And then the young corners as well. Brandon Smith is a guy that played for us last year. So I'm excited to watch that group go out and compete this spring.
Yeah, throw a Newsom in there as well. He played a lot in the bowl game. Big corner that a lot of teams relish this year as far as big wide receivers are going to match up with there. All right, the one other area is kicking. You got a JC, well, actually an Australian punter, so, but he hasn't punted American football yet, so that'll be a little interesting, I guess. But the kicking job is another. You got a snapper, okay, but you need somebody to kick field goals and extra points and kickoff.
Yeah, and that's wide open. Yeah. I mean, it is as wide open as it could be for kickoffs and field goals, and we feel like there's a couple young guys who have some ability. Now it's just building that consistency, so we're excited for them to go get a lot of repetitions more than anything. And then Jamison, who came here from Australia mid-year, a very talented athlete and incredibly coordinated. You know, those guys grow up punting with both feet, and they, in their sport, in Australian rules football, they punt to pass the ball. So the accuracy is a big part of it. So it'll be good for him to get out there and get a bunch of reps, but he's you know, fit in really well with how we're doing things, workouts, guys on the team. He's got an incredible personality, and it's been a good start.
All right, this year, the spring game will be April the 11th. You're kind of splitting the practices this year. Last year, you got it all in before the semester break. This year, you kind of split it up a little bit. The spring game will be the 11th. I mean, last year, you didn't have a game per se. Are you going to have a game this year? What's the plan?
Well, the best thing going is our roster is as big as it's been in a spring since we've been here. So if you look at, we basically had 13 guys finish their careers at the bowl game, and we got 8 mid-years. So the net is pretty small. Yeah. And so our roster in previous years has been a lot smaller, you know, when we've been in spring. So this year we've got a lot more bodies and we'll be, you know, knock on wood, we'll have those bodies all the way through spring and be able to get a little bit more competitive and more of a spring game atmosphere.
One final question as I passed over the quarterback position, how in the world could I possibly do that? Because everybody wants to know about the quarterback.
Yeah.
Again, Chase Garbers, it's the first time we've had a real incumbent at the quarterback position, yet it's a new system. So how do you manage the reps with a new system, but a veteran quarterback, yet you still have guys behind him that are competing as well?
Yeah, we'll get them what they need, you know, and we build the scripts with that in mind. We want to make sure that everybody gets the chance, you know, to get those reps. And Chase, obviously, you know, we'll make sure he gets what he needs to learn the system, get comfortable. He's a very sharp guy. These guys are going to get it, and, you know, it won't be day one, but they'll get it. And we got great guys teaching them. And then we're going to make sure those other quarterbacks, you know, Devon and Spencer and, you know, Jaden, who's here, and Robbie, we're going to make sure that those guys get their reps, and how we manufacture that we'll be really mindful of as we, you know, script our practices.
Well, it should be interesting and fun, because it's been a couple of months since we had football, and a lot of people live and die by football, whether it's spring football, fall camp, games, bowl games, whatever. It's always a lot of fun. And the development, see the young guys as they develop, is always a big part of this as well. We appreciate your time. We'll have a dilly bar on our way through Junction City this week, Junction City, and look forward to spring ball, including the spring game on April the 11th at 2:30.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Go Bears.
Joining us now is Charmin Smith. Busy time of the year. March Madness is upon us as the women get ready for the conference tournament this week, coming off a great victory on the final day of the regular season, defeating Arizona in Tucson. Let's just start with that, because the celebration afterwards was pretty cool. The team kind of waited for you to come in behind the little podium, you know, area there where you were coming from the post game interview, and announced you pretty good. Situation like that you bring a second set of clothes for that kind of a situation, because they got you pretty good with the water.
Yeah, I really wasn't expecting it. I guess I should have thought through it more. I thought we were just gonna like dance together and jump up and down a little bit. I'm just really excited that our team got to celebrate together again and feel good about our performance. And, you know, I wanted them to have another special moment, and I told them there was another one coming. So I'm really glad that it happened on that day.
Let's hope that's not the last one, because of the conference tournament, as we've seen in years past, anything can happen in this thing, and that'll be a lot of fun. But talk about, you know, you're at Arizona. It's a big day for them. They're coming off the win over Stanford. And maybe you caught them at a good time in that regard, but your kids just hung in there. That was the big thing all game long. Even when Arizona would make a little run, your players hung in there, and you've got, you know, a chance maybe at the free throw line, close things out. But Jaylen Brown's effort on that missed free throw to get that offensive rebound and stick it back in, I mean, it just shows how much not only her, but your team really wanted that one.
Yeah, you know, we've been fighting all season long, and it was a great moment where, you know, the hard work paid off, and we jumped out to a good lead. I think we were up 14 at one point, and we knew that they would make a run, you know, on senior day for them, and we were able to, you know, just really match their runs and slow down their runs and then counter, you know, with our own runs to be able to have it come down to a one possession game, and for Jaylen to get that rebound, and then for us to be able to get a stop on Airy. It was just really a really good team effort.
Yeah, I thought the defensive, you know, when you extended your defense, knowing she was going to get the ball, okay, because she's the one, when she made the key play to beat Stanford the previous game for them, I thought you played it really good. I mean, she's a left-hander. Stanford never seemed to recognize that in their game. You guys did, and forced her to take a really tough fadeaway three-pointer. And I mean, they had a desperation tap that wasn't going to go in as well. But just tell us about defensively what you were thinking there.
Well, you know, April Phillips, it was her scout, and I think she did a really good job of helping our team feel confident in how we can slow down Airy. And the game plan was to make other people beat us, not Airy, you know. And so, you know, Reese had a good day with some scoring. Fortunately, you know, Sam Thomas missed a lot of shots. And at the end of the game, we just wanted to make it a tough shot. And anything, any ball screen, any action in guarding area, we were really aggressive with her to try to get it out of her hands or make the shot one that wasn't comfortable for her, and it worked out for us.
Yeah, because she likes to get to the basket, and you didn't let her do that. She had to take the jump shot. That's really the only available option. All right, so this will probably be our last opportunity to talk to you on the podcast this year. And I know you've got the tournament coming up. You've got Arizona State Friday at 11:30 on the Pac-12 Network, and that'll be a big game. Just give us your overall thoughts about how this first season went for you as the head coach.
It's been quite a ride, you know. I'm just really proud of how we have continued to fight and stick together when we haven't had the number of wins that, you know, this program is used to. And I think it's a credit to the young women and their character. And their resiliency, it would have been really easy for people to hang their heads and give up and already be thinking about spring break and those types of things. And had that been the case, there's no way we pull off an upset and beat Arizona. And so, you know, I talked to them today about this Pac-12 tournament. It's about not wanting to go home and wanting this journey to last as long as possible. And I think we're all bought in on that. And it's been a great season. I'm just proud of our growth. And I'm proud of how we are still together as a family.
You had an interesting roster, and you get a bunch of seniors and a bunch of freshmen. Okay, and so that's always an interesting dynamic. The seniors had a great run here at Cal. I mean, they've done a lot of really awesome things, and they'll have great careers outside of basketball. You just know it, knowing the people. Let's talk about the young players. You got a big class coming in next year as well. What do you talk about some of the young people and how they did this year, where they improved, and where you see the growth to come?
Yeah, I think it's a phenomenal freshman class, and I think they're going to lead us to a lot of wins down the road. And the number one thing is just like their personalities, their character, their leadership. I mean, they're just great people. And I'm really glad that, you know, that's what we're building on, you know, that type of personality. You know, Kylan Crocker, you know, she got the start the last two games. She's just extremely coachable, works extremely hard. She's a great shooter. Mm-hmm. She knocks down some big shots for us, and understands the game, has a really high basketball IQ. So I think she's going to be making baskets for us, a lot down the road. Jasmine Green, you know, she's had some huge offensive games for us. There's really no limit to what she can do offensively. And it's just, you know, as a freshman, like getting her to be extremely confident and aggressive all the time. And so she's worked into that, and hoping she'll have a big Pac-12 tournament. Ava is just a beast. You know, she's so aggressive on the boards. She's aggressive driving to the basket. I think she's going to be a really versatile four player in this conference. I think she's going to be extremely hard to guard. She's already giving people fits. So I'm excited about what she can do. And then Leilani has kind of been the heartbeat. I mean, she's all over the place defensively. She's so tenacious. You know, she makes us go offensively. She sets us up. She pushes the ball in transition. So she's been the floor general for us for sure.
Yeah, she's the prototypical jitterbug. I mean, she is the one that runs the engine. Great speed, quickness, and I thought as a true freshman, she did a terrific job this year. I mean, it's tough for a true freshman to come in and run the point and have all that responsibility. I thought she was really terrific this year and a great building block. And then when we first talked to you back in November, you had just signed what is one of the top recruiting classes in the country. I think, if I remember correctly, you have four in the fold, one committed that we can't talk about. Let's talk about the four that are in the fold, three of them from the United States, one from overseas. Give us a little idea what kind of years they had in high school this year.
I think they all did really well. You know, Fatu had some success in Houston in their playoffs. Lele, who's from the Washington area, is still playing. She's in state this week, so we're excited about that. And I think, you know, Michelle did a great job with her team down in SoCal. Ornella, it's different. It's not the typical high school, you know, system over there in Greece in terms of her games. But I actually will be going to see her play this month. I'll be making a trip to Greece. So I'm excited to get a chance to see her live.
I think at the time maybe we talked, I'm not sure that we had really talked a lot about her, more of a wing, a guard type player. The other three, I mean, have versatility, but primarily the bigs. Tell us a little bit about her game.
Yeah, I mean, she can play the point. She can play off the ball. She shoots it extremely well. She has good athleticism, good length, and I'm excited. I think she's going to really add to our depth and help us down the road for sure.
And it sounds like looking at next year's roster, you'll have a more balanced roster and a lot more versatility with your roster vis-a-vis bigs, wings, and at the point guard position. Let's talk about Arizona State. That's the first one up on Friday at 11:30. A couple of weeks ago, Scott Ruark, the coach at Oregon State after a game against Arizona State, was mentioned that the women's game he thought was getting too physical. Is it too physical, or is that just the way it is these days?
You know, I really can't speak to their game and what happened, you know, against Oregon State and Arizona State. I know in our matchup, we allowed them to have an advantage on the boards. And that shows me that they were the tougher team. And we need to be the tougher team. And we did that against Arizona. You know, Arizona is one of the best defensive teams in the conference, maybe in the country. And I think we have to have that same type of toughness and mindset against ASU, because if not, they will take advantage of you.
That's for sure. They've always been that way with Charlie. I mean, that's just the way they've always been for the last 20 years, I guess it's been. When you look at this tournament, I mean, it's the best conference tournament in the country. When you look at the quality of the teams in this thing, anywhere from, you know, the Oregon schools, certainly you look at the Southern California schools, the Arizona schools. What's it going to take to make a run this weekend in the tournament in Las Vegas?
I mean, I think, honestly, it's just one game at a time. You know, we know what we did wrong against Arizona State. We know where we can be better, and we've got to fight to earn one more day in Vegas. And then, you know, we'll take it from there. But right now, we're just like, we don't want to go home. We want to get to Vegas and be able to chill in those hotels and hang out in the Mandalay Bay as long as possible, yeah. For sure.
I know we got to cut this a little short because you've got to do your civic duty and go to vote. We're doing this on Tuesday. One thing I've always admired about this program is that the responsibility that you as coaches give to the players from a cultural, civic responsibility. And that's, I think, been one of the hallmarks. It's been great wins and, you know, Final Four. But it's something that I've always been impressed about with the women's basketball team, and you've continued that tradition as well. Why is that so important for you and translating that to the young women that you work with?
Well, I just think, you know, in this position as a head coach for women's basketball, it's a lot more than just basketball. That's not the most important thing. It's about helping young women grow and develop into who they're supposed to be, you know, once they leave Cal, and giving them the confidence to walk, you know, on this earth, in this country, with an amount of self-esteem and being secure with who they are and what their goals are. And that's what's most important to me. It's the, you know, it's seeing how Talia Caldwell is so successful and the things that she's doing, you know, that have nothing to do with basketball. Those are the moments that you want as a coach, to know that your players are out there thriving in the world aside from basketball.
And great examples up and down the line the last decade plus. Sharman, we appreciate your time throughout the course of the season. Good luck this week in the Pac-12 tournament. Maybe don't spend a lot of time in the casinos, but concentrate on basketball, get some wins, and you get four wins and you go to the NCAA tournament. So that's the prize that everybody's after, but get Arizona State first. That's the big one. And we appreciate it and good luck.
All right. Thank you. And go Bears.
Reminder, men's basketball on the air will be at Oregon Thursday night, 8 o'clock on the air at 7:30, then at Oregon State on Saturday to conclude the regular season. Next week, the men go to Las Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. So for Justin Wilcox and Sharman Smith, I'm Todd McKim. Thanks you very much for listening this week. We got just a couple more to go here, and so an exciting time. You got March Madness, spring football, a lot of things going on here at Cal, and we'll keep you up to date. Thank you very much for listening, and as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.